Christ is risen. A Sunday school teacher told the boys and girls in his class about how Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb, with gray stones sealing the opening. And then he was wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection. And so the teacher asked, "And what do you think were Jesus' first words when he came out from the tomb alive?" There was a little girl who raised her hand from the rear of the classroom and shouted out excitedly, "I know, I know." "Good," said the teacher. "Then tell us what Jesus' first words were." And guess what the little girl said? Who can guess? Who can guess? The little girl said, "Tada!" That was the first word of Jesus when he rose from the grave. He said, "Tada!" So unexpected. As churches together in Kaluk, we have had services, especially last Thursday and Friday, with readings and prayers to remind us of the punishment that our Lord Jesus Christ took on himself for our sake. But today, like the Sunday school girl, we can celebrate and rejoice with a shout, "Tada! He's alive and risen. Christ is risen." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 1 to 11, Paul dealt with Christ's resurrection, which is the foundation on which the good news of the gospel stands. In verse 14, as was read to us this morning, Christ said, or Paul wrote and said, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Indeed, this is a point that today's churches need desperately to hear. We need to hear this. We need to hear that if Christ was not raised from the dead, the Christian faith is based on a lie. If Christ was not raised from the dead, all the preaching and mission work of our congregation and churches throughout the centuries, all these works have been for nothing. For Christ was raised from the dead, we have hope beyond the grave. In my years of ministry, I have conducted several funerals. And somebody asked me, "Did you preach during your father's funeral?" And I said, "No, I couldn't. I didn't." And it just got me thinking, having seen him before, and then seeing him at the mortuary, and then seeing when the coffin was lowered to the grave and covered. It got me thinking, there must be something beyond this. There must be something beyond us being covered in the ground. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we have hope. And this hope is a living hope. It is not a dead hope. It is hope that is active. It is hope that is living beyond the grave. That the grave cannot hold the righteous forever. There is hope for those who died in Christ, who are now resting beyond and in his nearer presence. As chapter 24 of Luke opens, Mary Magdalene, Mary, James' mother, and Joanne went down to the tomb with spies to embalm the body of Christ. Upon arriving at the tomb early that Sunday morning, they discovered a stone rolled away, and when they entered the tomb, they also discovered that the body of the Lord Jesus was not there. It was this discovery that caused them to be perplexed. But right there at that time, standing near them, were two men in shining garments who asked them, "Why seek the living among the dead? Why seek the living among the dead?" This question is particularly important. It helps us to capture the meaning of Easter and how Christ's resurrection should affect us. After asking this question to the women, the angel said to the women again, "He is not here, he has risen." And in verse 7 of our reading, the angels reminded them of what Jesus said. "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." He was very precise. "On the third day, be raised to life." As we journey through life, whether great or small, whether poor or rich, whether sick or healthy, we need to be constantly reminded of the promises of the Lord. Our enemy, the devil, prefers us forgetting, twisting, or doubting what the Lord has said in the midst of the ups and downs of life. But the angels were not going to allow the women to suffer the same. They were perplexed in the first place. So they reminded the women of Jesus' promise that he will rise again. This is the reason we should celebrate. That is the reason why we should rejoice in all circumstances, because he is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. After hearing this good news, the women left the tomb with excitement. They were so excited. Just like many of us feel when you go to holidays, especially, you know, during winter, and you go to a place where you're able to catch some sunshine. You know, you so love the holiday, and when you return, even on your Facebook, you are giving updates every day. The restaurants you went for, the food you ate, and sometimes, if you have the opportunity, you can organize an evening service to tell the story of a holiday. You are so excited about your relationship, your grandchildren, your spouse, your partner, you know, and every little opportunity you have, you want to tell that story. "Oh, what an amazing person. What a great holiday. What a great wine. What a great restaurant." And things like that. So these women saw and they got this news firsthand. They were so excited and they went out to tell others. We should go out and tell others the story of Jesus. If we love Jesus, then we have to tell the story. We have to go out and tell the story to our children, to our children's children, to our neighbors, to our friends. John Richard tells a story about a former Ugandan archbishop who was killed under Idi Amin during Idi Amin's regime. And many of you know about Idi Amin. Thousands of Christians gathered on a hill to mourn his passing. But the government refused to release his body. An old archbishop began to read the story of the resurrection. As he read, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" A spontaneous shout of praise rose from the crowd. Everyone began to connect to that, to the whole idea that their leader wasn't a cold corpse in the government's custody, but a child of God, safe in the presence of Jesus. It is the same for us. Jesus rising again is not just amazing. It is not just awesome. But it is a whole. It is a bold statement on triumph, on victory. Jesus rising again is victory over every trouble life can throw at us, every low, every self-esteem issue, even over our own death itself, or the death of our beloved ones. Christ is indeed risen, And that's the reason why, in the face of death, in the face of sickness, we can keep the smile. We can keep the joy alive. We can keep hope alive. And so when we sing this hymn, because he lives, as we sing this song and as we sing it just after this sermon, we should sing it with the broadest beaming grin in our face, with smiles, with hope. We are safe in God's hand, and indeed we are safe, no matter what happens, no matter what is happening around our lives, our families, our careers, our businesses, we are safe. And the world needs to hear this, that we are safe, that God is still in control of his world. We are safe through to the other side of death itself. We are safe. We are safe.